This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Hallinan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Looks like you're all waking up, so the lines are all filling up. We do have one line open for you, 860-522-9842 is the number. And, you know, the UConn women lost, and we definitely are disappointed. But if you don't want to be disappointed, you can always consider UConn Jazz. They're going to be playing in Manchester April 17th. Morgan is going to have a story about it at 2 o'clock today. He'll be interviewing John Mastriani, but the UConn Jazz Ensemble and the Manchester Jazz Ensembles will be playing together April 17th, 8 o'clock in Manchester, and they never disappoint, right? You can't. You're not going to foul out when you're playing jazz. You might play some wrong notes, but you'll not know that because it's jazz. That's the beauty of jazz. So, all right. So we're going to get to your calls here. Let's go to who's up first here is on the longest. So go to Joe in Windsor. What's happening, Joe?
Well, I have a compact Presario computer, laptop computer, 60 series, and it was running real good. And then one day I go to put it on in the morning, and it just booted up to the Windows logo, and it gets stuck there. So I checked out the hard drive, passed, and the memory passed, and I just don't know where to go from there. I don't have any backup. That's the problem. But
yeah, there's no data on there you care about, right?
Right.
Okay, good. I was hoping you were going to say that. So the hardware seems okay. The operating system is maybe scrambled. Have you gotten into safe mode?
Did I do what?
Have you tried to get into safe mode?
Yeah, I did. It won't go into safe mode.
Oh, uh-oh.
Oh.
And I tested the BIOS. Everything's fine in the BIOS.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand. I don't have a disk installation disk to put in.
No. You may have to. So there could be a factory restoration option when you boot up, depending on the model.
Be. Yeah.
So
this is the 60 model, 60.
It's an HP. HP, you said?
No, compact Presario.
Oh, compact. Sheesh. That thing is really old. Yeah. So, I mean, you'd have to do some searches to see if we can get you into like a way to factory default it. And if the operating system is there, you could maybe get it back running that way.
We can post an article on Microsoft that has all the different recovery options on it. And it's got a pick list of what you want to do. And you can get into either the repair, functions, or you can just do the factory reset. The instructions are on that page.
Again, this assumes you don't care about any data on that computer.
Right. Well, how about a recovery disk, you know?
Well,
if I found a recovery disk, would that be able to do it?
Maybe.
You might boot to that and then do the system recovery from that. Yeah. Yes. There might also be a recovery partition built into the computer.
Right. That's what I'm hoping.
That you could just boot to that. What you'd have to do is hit one of the F keys during the startup process. This is a compact, right? I think if you hit F12.
F8.
Or
F8, and then I hit F10.
Okay.
And tells me what to do, and I do all those things, and nothing, and doesn't help.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got to get into the recovery partition if you can, or you can boot to that recovery disk if you've got one.
Now, this
how do I get in the partition if it doesn't start up?
Well, you're going to get it before it starts up. So this is before the operating system comes up. We need to get you into the recovery partition before, if it's possible. But now, this is a very old computer, right, Joe?
Right.
I mean, very old.
It was working good, and I was happy with it.
Hey, man, I had a refrigerator. I felt the same way. But we had to replace it, all right? I mean, sometimes they go. You got to say goodbye. Well,
here's the thing. If you hit, like, F12, I'm telling you, hit F12.
As
it's booting, yes. Yeah. And just keep hitting it repeatedly. That should get you into what's called the boot menu. And one of the options you see on the screen, assuming you do have a recovery partition, would be to boot to that.
Right.
But you can also put the disk in before you power it up. And if the disk is there, the boot menu will also give you the opportunity to boot to that.
Right.
So F12 is the key.
Yeah, so I put what disk do I put in there?
The recovery disk you said you're going to try to
disk
find.
You said you might have.
Yeah, I don't have a recovery disk. I have to get one.
Well, you won't be able to get one.
No.
Not for that. So don't spend too much time on this. You know, I understand you liked it and it was a friend of some kind to you, but you need to let it go.
What if I just put a new hard drive in and put a full version of 7 in it.
Do you have a full version of 7 hanging around?
I can get it, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, well, you might want to do that. What you'll also have to do is go to HP's website and get drivers for that.
Yeah.
And what I would do is maybe copy them all to the to a USB disk. So you load... Load the operating system from the disk that you have or that you can get, and then you're going to copy the drivers over, and then you just run the installers.
But, Joe, you do deserve a better computer. I mean,
it seems like a lot of work
to salvage
an old computer, and if it's got Windows 7, like you said, then...
You're not getting security.
I'm already getting skeeved out just thinking about it. If it were me, I would be putting my time and effort into something new.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
32-bit.
Yeah, 32-bit. Joe, let it go, Joe. Joe, let it go.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right out, that computer really served you well.
It's old.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll try to get it going. If I can't, then I guess go another way.
Yeah,
get
a new one, or I think companies are still out there selling refurbished stuff. So you probably, if you want to save a few bucks, you might find.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to ask you: antivirus.
Yeah,
I had on that computer. I had one that was free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are there still any out there that are free?
Yeah, the new operating system comes with one that's free. So you don't even need to buy anything. Just use that you use the new operating system.
Yeah, it's called Defender. It's built right in. You don't even need to think about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks.
You're welcome, Joe.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate
it.
Yep.
Have a good
day. All right. Bye-bye. It's like putting down a pet or something for him.
Yeah.
You know? It's got to go. That's old. I mean, 32-bit Windows 7 on a compact.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen compacts in the wild for such a long time.
Yeah, I don't think... do they even still make anything with that label? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
They certainly don't sell Presarios anymore.
No, it'd be like seeing a Gateway computer in the wild. Remember those cow computers?
Gateway 2000 cow designs.
Good old days. That's an old machine. All right, let's go to... Who's been on the longest here? We're going to go to Hal next in East Hampton. What's happening, Hal?
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Got a question... We have Comcast Xfinity for our provider.
Yep.
We've got the bundle, and we're gradually trying to cut back on this ever-growing monthly charges. Yeah. And so we've got we've gone to the Xfinity app with Roku on a couple TVs.
Mm.
But the question I have more specifically is the modem. We rent
yep.
a modem monthly from Xfinity. It's $15 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And that's essentially, I mean, I know I could do the math in terms of, you know, dropping their modem and going out and buying one.
All right.
I guess I'm just asking your opinion of the wisdom. Is there any downside to, you know, going outside the Xfinity?
So here's
I know that they replace them for free. I know that type of thing. But on the other hand, you know, you go to Best Buy or some of those places, you can buy a plan and
yeah.
Get yourself covered. So I guess just
yep.
your wisdom, do you recommend something like that in terms of a move?
Well, so here's the thing, right? Here's the part you're assuming, that when you have a problem with your modem, they're going to dutifully hop up on the car and drive over there and fix it for you and get you back online nice and quick, right? That's the assumption yeah. you're making. Well, sadly,
not.
Even in the business world, we're begging those guys to do things. I've got a client who tried to get their PRI cut over to SIP. He put the order in months ago, and they're like, well, there's a technical problem. I can't do it. So that's a business customer paying $1,000 a month, you're paying 15. Wow. Do you think they're going to run out to help you? My point is, I don't think you're at any additional loss if you do your own modem, right?
Okay.
You know, go ahead and get your own modem. You have your own power there. And
right.
Give them the MAC address. Bring the old equipment back in. Save your money.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure. It doesn't really give me any specs in terms of, not that I would understand the specs anyway, but mm-hmm. in terms of this, you know, the power of the modem. But
right.
I would think if I want, you know, I do have some power, some internet service issues out here in terms, you know, you know what I mean? You have weak signals, Wi-Fi signal, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so yeah.
Certain areas of the property. So I'm just wondering if I were to go outside and buy my own, is there a higher quality or in terms of power that would provide a bigger Wi-Fi signal?
Well, so right. So they're going to give you the Wi-Fi signal. They're also going to give it for free to anybody who has an Xfinity account in your neighborhood. They'll be able to get on that too, but... The point is you're going to put your modem in, and it's not going to do anything with Wi-Fi. It's just going to be the best modem you can buy for the Comcast service, and you can go ahead and look on their site. They should have a list of modems they support. The Wi-Fi, to expand that, would be by putting wireless access points. They're called WAPs, or APs, access points, and you'd connect them with a Cat6 data cable up into the area of your home that you want to improve the Wi-Fi signal. That's a way to improve your Wi-Fi signal, separate
okay.
it from the modem. You could also okay. just buy a good access point right there, a good router, a Linksys router or something like that, that offers mm-hmm. enough broadcast. But it means you're going to buy a modem and a router. I assumed okay. you had a router, but it doesn't sound like you do.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it's okay.
I have one device.
Yeah, you have one device. So you're going to need to pick up two things, the modem and a Wi-Fi 6 capable router. You want it to be Wi-Fi 6, Wi-Fi 6 capable, because you want it to be able to support the higher speeds when you eventually okay. cut the cable completely and go to fiber.
Okay. All right.
You'll be more.
And this will be cost effective down the road, I assume. $15 a month off the bill.
It would be helpful. Yeah, it'll be helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know, right? But again, I don't think you're going to get any better or worse service by having your own modem.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, that was my question. I appreciate your help on it. Thank you.
My pleasure. And we'll try to.
Okay,
I'll see if I can.
Enjoy your show every week.
Thank you. Well, I'll try to put a link up there for you so that we have an option for the a good router choice.
Yeah. Well, perfect. What we found is a page on Comcast site.
Yep.
That'll you put in your address and information, and it will tell you what was compatible for your area.
Yep. Very good.
Oh. Okay.
All
not
right
just their. Not just their product, but if I
no,
want to go
product.
And buy,
well,
only their product.
Not, well, their service, so not their product. So their product is their service. Their cable yeah. service is their product.
Right, but I mean the modem itself.
It'll be a different. It'll be.
It'll give you a list of modems that will work for your location.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That'd
right.
be great.
All right, Hal.
Perfect. Thanks again, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to step out for a quick break. Antoinette, hang on. Three lines open for you. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we're here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. We posted the the modem link for Hal and maybe a suggested router option that'll do Wi-Fi 6. You want to be kind of future-proof. You want to be able to handle gigabit fiber speeds that are going to be available through multiple different carriers, thankfully. Like going NetSpeed and even Comcast. And all these companies are going to be getting higher speeds, finally. It's taken a while. Let's go to Antoinette, though, next in Fairfield. What's happening, Antoinette?
Yes, how are you? Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have two quick questions.
All right.
Is it better to do your banking through the bank's app or just go to the website directly?
I would tell you the app. I would tell you to do it through the app and or a Chromebook with the app versus a website.
Okay. Now, if I put the app on the PC, would that be okay as well?
If they have a Windows-based app.
They may not have a Windows app.
Yeah.
They may just use a browser.
Right. So I would be stuck with the phone or my iPad to do the banking.
No.
You can use the browser if you want.
You can use your browser. The thing about, you know, the apps on mobile devices is the app is streamlined just to talk to that one bank. Mm-hmm. You're not opening up a browser on the phone and then connecting from there.
No cookies involved.
Right, with cookies and things like that. So it keeps the connection not only more secure but more streamlined. But on a Windows computer, Windows handles the security anyway. So even if you had a specific app for that bank, the underlying security is still controlled by Windows.
Right.
So you wouldn't have any concern. You would just go and use the browser as long as, number one, your browser is secure.
Right.
And it's the latest version of whatever the browser is.
Yeah.
And number two, as long as Windows has been updated and it is the latest revision of that.
Right.
Which can be a problem based on your stories earlier today.
Yes. Yes, you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Oh, God. No, the reason why I'm asking, you know who my son was saying is eat better to do it, the banking on that. I was talking about security, was getting some things corrected on the PC.
Yeah.
And when I make a transaction or make a payment, I make a screen print of every window they take you to in case there's an issue. I have a record of what. Right. I know it's that. It's just my little secretarial thing from way back when. I never lost that.
Yep.
And just for double checking, and that's why I was asking, you know, that question, because I want to keep a record. I have everything. No, this is what you took me to, blah, blah, blah.
Yep, yep.
So
trust but verify.
Yeah, for asking that. So it would probably be safer to do it on the laptop, which is Apple. Because would that be considered a mobile device?
It is a mobile device, being a laptop, but not a mobile device as far as apps go.
It's a full-blown computer as opposed to a tablet or a phone.
Right.
Okay. All right.
And so they may not have an app for the actual computer.
Yeah, I probably don't.
Right.
Not for Mac.
Not for Mac, right.
No, you'd be browsing again.
Yeah, you would just use Safari or Chrome or Firefox.
Okay, I'll just leave it as is for now.
All right.
The other quick question is Microsoft Outlook email, to get the email coming through Outlook, better than getting it through Chrome or another browser?
I like Outlook. I use Outlook all the time.
Yeah.
So it's a good mail client, right? So you can use the browser and just go that way, but I like Outlook as far as what it does for me. So
I
recently purchased the latest and greatest for my home for my wife.
So. Yay.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
All right, Antoinette. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you. Okay. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough to feel comfortable, right, using things. And she's literally not comfortable, so she's doing screenshots of everything. I don't blame her. But we wouldn't necessarily advocate you do that to that level.
Yeah. The concern that I have is if somebody can ever get those screenshots, are they going to get her account numbers or something?
She'll have
I would hope that those are in a secure location.
Right. No, she shreds them every week. She confirms it, and then she shreds
it. She saves them to a USB stick, and then she throws that in a shredder.
Exactly. But I don't blame her, though. I don't blame her.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm just thinking out loud about the consequences.
Right.
Or possible consequences.
Possible consequences. Yeah, because you think you're doing yourself a favor, and you end up making yourself more vulnerable. I think I told you the story of the CEO. I think it was a owner of a business who I sat down. He's like, yeah, Eric, I just finished changing all my passwords to being the exact same for all my services. I'm so good. So happy now. I'm like, oh, man. It was a few years ago, but he's that was that story. I just didn't know how to react to it. It's like, do you facepalm in front of him or do you? So it was an interesting meeting. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Three lines open for you. Everything we've talked about so far has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com. And they'll get there eventually. They kind of trickle on in there. Mike G's posted everything over to the Computer Talk with Tab Facebook page. Basically, it's the listener network. It's a private group. You're welcome to join, and we'll let you in there. And, of course, if you follow us on X, Elon will give that right to your phone. No questions asked. No filtration. No censorship. You'll get our news because Elon deems it worthy. So you'll get it any way you need to. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. I know it's up
for me. Making sure I'm not. All right, I'm getting the theme this morning with the music. Carolyn did something with sunshine. We're looking for it. Although maybe it has to do with the eclipse occurring.
Yeah. Well, we did hear total eclipse of the heart.
Yeah. There's that little black spot. Come on. Cool. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Yes, it does seem like the end of days with all the plagues and floods and, you know, eclipses and earthquakes. But we're here. Another 30 minutes if we can make it. And we're happy to help you guys out with anything you want to talk about when it comes to technology. So let's go to your calls, and we're going to go to Dan next on the line. Where are you? What's going on, Dan?
Hi, Dan from Long Island.
Long Island, okay.
I have 32 gig of RAM.
All right.
And no matter what I do, I can run nothing or run every program I can think of. I never get above maybe 7 or 8 gig in use. What happens to the rest of that memory, or is it not being used, or maybe it's not working, or
no? Well, it's the computer is going to use what it wants to use, so each application will act differently. So for example, if we did a SQL server, a database application, that thing will suck up every gig you give it indefinitely. It'll just say, oh, I got 128 gigs of RAM, I'm gonna take every single one. So it comes down to the application and what you're doing. So yes, you bought 32 gigs of RAM. To me, it means you have some headroom. You can run a couple of applications and your machine is going to do its thing. It's going to also swap out, right? So if you've got a solid state drive, it may not need to do too much into random access memory because you're so fast as it is. So I don't think you have any problem with the RAM physically, especially if it boots up and reports. See, computers don't post anymore the way they used to, like how much RAM they've got running in the boot. You know, you would actually have a post and it would show you.
Right, it would count up the memory.
So you got to go to the config, right? You got to go to system and see if the RAM's there. And if it shows 32, you're good.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm watching it in Task Manager.
Right.
Right.
So your computer's doing great. It's managing the RAM it's got, plenty of headroom. If you gave it a big CAD computer-aided design like SolidWorks or something like that, it's going to use graphic RAM. It's going to use your machine's RAM. That would definitely be a different use of RAM.
And if you were using a virtual machine on it, it would take up a block of that itself.
Right.
For each virtual machine that you run. One of the problems with the way that Task Manager displays the usage is it typically is watching reading and writing to the RAM. Now, if a program is running and it loads and it dumps a whole bunch of data into different pages of the RAM, but then doesn't go back and read that right away, Task Manager will think, maybe that RAM is available, and it will reduce the apparent usage number that you're going to see in the screen.
Right, which is maybe wrong.
Yeah, but that memory is still in all of those different memory pages that the program used, and whatever the contents were at the moment that it was written there. And it that program may go back and read one of those pages, or maybe two of them, and then your usage number is going to tick up like a couple of percent because of that, but then it's going to drop back down. But it doesn't mean that there's nothing in the RAM.
Right.
It actually is being used.
And also look at it too. Like if you're rendering a video, let's say, it's going to throw a lot of it into that RAM buffer so that it can render the video, buffer it out to the device it's writing to, and it uses RAM to do that as well. So
all right, so some stuff that I probably can't see. Like when I tried doing it, I says, all right, let me load like 50 photographs.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, it bumps up, you know, maybe it goes from 7.2 to 7.4.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a while to load all those 50 photos.
Right.
Well, a lot of that also is actually done by virtual memory. Windows and Mac and Linux will use virtual memory, and the operating system may be intelligent enough to know, oh, he's just loading these graphics that he's throwing on the screen.
Right.
I don't need that all the time. And it will actually move those memory pages into the virtual memory, which is actually in your drive storage,
right,
as opposed to the RAM. And again, that's going to appear to make your RAM usage number drop in Task Manager.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, I was just wondering if I could pull that, you know, 16 gig card out and put it in another machine, because it seems like I'm never even getting close to. I have two sticks in there. They're 16 gig each.
There you go. So the answer is maybe, yeah. You could, unless you don't need a pair of RAM to run. If you can run individually, you could take the stick out, and move it over, because you're obviously not using applications that require that much RAM.
Right.
All right. Now, on a solid-state drive, I was reading somewhere it said that you should leave about half the drive empty.
I don't know about that.
I guess it uses that for the virtual memory? Or?
Well, it will use some of it for virtual memory, but your talk, let's say you've got a 500 gigabyte SSD, which is kind of the standard for computers now. Your virtual memory is going to be 20, 30, 40 gigs at most.
Yeah.
That it's using. So that's less than 10% of the whole drive. Yeah. And if you have a 1 terabyte SSD, it's going to be an even smaller amount. So half of the drive? No.
No.
No, 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 no.
Okay. So I can throw, as I try to keep the solid state drive free, and I still, you know, store my data and stuff on a regular hard drive. So that doesn't really make a difference then.
Well, not nowadays. In the old days, it did. Like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, considering that would be the old days, we were doing hybrid drives, right? Solid states were so expensive, so we were doing hybrids. And yes, we would have said do your boot drive on a small solid state you can afford, and then have your storage on a spinny drive. Nowadays, it's not even necessary to consider that. Drives are so affordable that you can do a whole terabyte solid state drive and not mess with all that back and forth. Does that make sense?
Good. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I caught you on a Saturday morning. Usually I listen to the podcast during the week. So.
Well, we're glad you listened to the podcast and caught us on a Saturday morning, Dan.
All right. Thank you very much. Great show.
All right. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, the thing about technology is it moves so quickly that the things that were the way, you know, the way we did had done them in the past are no longer that. Literally just months down the way. You know, you thought X was correct. Well, no, we really have to do Y because X doesn't make any sense anymore. All because of all sorts of things. Anything we want to bring up in the technology world there before we go to a break?
Well,
there,
sure. Google, which is well known for providing all kinds of very, very free services.
Yes, because you're the commodity.
Because, of course, you're the commodity. And what you put in, they're collecting it all up.
Yep.
And they're going to make some money on that. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems that they are considering charging for AI-powered web search.
Interesting.
Now, normal web search, no, they're not going to charge for that.
Right.
But when you use what they now call Gemini, that they called Bard just a few months ago.
Right, both huge disasters so far.
Yeah, and they're going to be, they may. I'm not saying they're even going to do this, and neither does the article that I quoted.
Mm-hmm.
It just says that they're considering it because of the relatively vast amount of computational power that's required for it.
All right.
They got to pay for it somehow.
I have another theory, but go ahead.
But anyway, the problem that I have with that is, why would I pay for these Gemini searches?
Right.
When I'm not even sure Gemini knows what it's talking about.
There's that.
Yeah.
I agree completely with that.
And I mean, the Google's own, you know, rote search algorithm is really very good.
Right.
In its own right.
Yep.
Why would I pay for something that I then have to question in ways that I would never question with their own rote search algorithm, which is free?
I get a feeling.
I don't get it.
I have a feeling that they're sick and tired of the ding-dongs putting the questions in, and it's actually getting stupider. Well, and so if they keep as many ding-dongs out as they can and they get actual people who are going to seriously use the tool, they might get better data.
Yeah,
right? Because there's so many dumb questions being asked, right? not that any question's a dumb question. I know. But it is the way we use AI is actually creating a lot of stupid results, and it is getting stupider and stupider. And I think they're going to say, I only want serious people to be using this tool, even though their tool really stinks. But maybe it's all because of what's going on. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines wide open on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. And guys, on Monday, don't use any cheap sunglasses to look at the solar eclipse. We don't want to hear about all that either. We'll be right back. And I think it's going to be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round and get too fine. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. A couple lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online. And we're going to take your calls as fast as we can here before the show ends. And then coming up after our program, Dr. Alessi will be on. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. Let's go to Steve in Harrington next. What's happening, Steve? Steve, you there?
This is Steve from New Hartford.
All right. Well, we think you're Harrington, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right, I got a problem. I was searching for some parts for a heater, and all of a sudden I started getting these McAfee pop-ups alerts
on
my right side of my screen, and they just come up whether I'm in the browser or not.
Right. So you happen to be searching for a heater, but these pop-ups were going to happen whether you were searching for a heater or a peanut butter sandwich. It wouldn't have mattered. It was just going to pop up anyways. Did you own McAfee in the past?
Never.
All right.
Well, maybe way in the distant past, but this just keeps popping up.
Okay.
Elite viruses. I got warnings that I'm going to be seized up and I can't get my programs, all that other stuff.
All right. Then this is different than I'm thinking, but go ahead.
Yeah. What's happening is your browser is getting notifications from some website. Okay. Which browser do you use? Is it Chrome or Edge or Firefox? Edge. Okay.
Edge.
First mistake.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Pretty much the same as Chrome, but that's all
just
right.
Just kidding.
At any rate, you've got a notification that got picked up somehow.
Right.
Probably because of a script in a web page that illicitly signed you up for that notification, because normally the browser is going to prompt you for that.
Right.
But it can be scripted so that you don't see it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So what you're going to do is go into your browser settings. You go up to the three-dot menu, and then you click on the word settings. You type the word notifications. And then you go into your site preferences and you look for whatever the site is. Now, if you look very carefully at that notification box, down near the bottom, it will give you a domain that it came from. It'll be in very small letters, but it's there.
Good.
And it's put there by the browser. So the people who throw the notifications can't hide that from you. At any rate, you look for that in that list of sites that you've allowed notifications for, and you block it.
You revoke the notifications. Now, if you used OpenDNS, most likely the site you went to wouldn't even have been allowed, because this would be considered a malicious site, in my opinion. So you inadvertently maybe were surfing for heaters, and you ended up clicking on a site, and who knows what came up for you, but you moved on, but that little hijack occurred at that time. So consider running OpenDNS so that you don't have this happen again.
And then this thing pops up even it's just on my home screen. I'm not even on a browser.
It'll throw them up
whenever it can.
Number one, an edge task has to be running on the computer, and that can happen even if you don't see the browser window on your screen.
Right.
Okay. Number two. Yeah. It'll happen whenever that website distributes the notification. They just get popped out like every few minutes, all day, all night.
Right.
So that's why you're seeing them even if you're not browsing.
Yeah, there it goes again.
Yeah. So
we're going to post a link on how to do what I just described.
But
that'd be great.
He's going to help you fix it for this one thing. But if you don't configure OpenDNS, it'll happen again to you.
Yeah, I'll have to consider that, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's it then, huh?
No problem.
Is there any security problems? I was afraid to go on my banking site with this thing popping up.
Right. So, and that's a good thing to fear, right? So who knows what else is trying to be loaded on your system? I don't think you have anything more to fear, but still, you should always be a little nervous.
It probably don't.
Yeah.
If you feel like it, maybe you can go get Malwarebytes and run that.
Right.
Just install it, run the scan, let it clean up everything, and then uninstall it when you're done, because you don't want to prevent Defender from running on your computer or whatever antivirus you may already have.
Right.
Yeah, because I got Webroot, and supposedly it was a good system, and I scan it constantly, and I never find anything.
Okay, then it is a good system. Webroot's okay.
Webroot's all right, but it definitely doesn't stop these notifications. And as a matter of fact, no antivirus that I know of does.
It's just a notification.
Because the notification comes in, and it's scripted in a way that the computer itself thinks it's something that you want.
Right.
As the user.
Okay.
Lots of news sites have this. Would you like us to send you notifications? I always say no, but if you did, they would send you news articles without you even asking for them, right in the way this is being shown to you.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it.
All right.
I get it.
All right, Steve.
Well, thanks, fellas. You guys are a great help. I love listening to you.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, so surf more safely with OpenDNS, and you'll have less chance of this kind of thing happening to you. Let's go to Dennis in Hartford. What's happening, Dennis?
Good morning. Thanks a lot for taking the call. I know we don't have much time.
Yeah.
You guys have any idea why, in order to switch from Cox over to Yahoo, they want your date of birth, social security number, and mother's maiden name?
No, and I would not put that in.
No.
No, I won't. I don't trust these monkeys with that.
No.
Okay, that's crazy. Way of taking all the information off of Cox and being able to save? I got a lot of folders and stuff in there. Is there a way of taking all that information and saving it?
You probably have an IMAP configured email. So if you move to a different service like Proton, you can.
I'm going to. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
There is a migration method for that.
Yeah. It should just migrate it for you over, and your folders and all that should stay the same. Are you using a mail client of any kind?
I just, Outlook just picked up on it.
All right, so
I got Outlook.
You have Outlook, the actual application?
Yeah, it's in the new one.
Yeah, good. And so if it's Outlook, new, the latest one, it's going to cause you trouble. The slightly older flavor of Outlook will work better with Proton. I couldn't even get the Outlook new to work on my own wife's computer. I just gave it up and uninstalled it. That's the one drawback. But most IMAP mail systems will copy those settings over from the old one. I have no idea why they would ask that information of you. That is just crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I just froze when I saw that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, smart of you to think twice about that.
Yeah. Okay, so a Proton would migrate. Well, how do I get the old Outlook?
That you'd have to see if you can download or downgrade from what you've purchased. The old Outlook is literally just like last week's Outlook. This new thing just came out recently.
Right, it did. It automatically switched. I had the old, and then it switched to the new.
Oh, good. Then it's still on your computer, so you could uninstall the new one.
You actually probably have both.
Yeah.
You're going to look in your program list for Outlook, just that word, and then Outlook new,
right,
with the new in parentheses. You're going to not use the one that has the new in it. You're just going to use Outlook.
And the thing that I found was I couldn't kick off my old Outlook unless I uninstalled the quote-unquote new. Hopefully that's not the same for you.
Okay.
All right, Dennis?
No, I do. You're right. I got the Outlook new and the Outlook.
All right.
Yes. Terrific.
Yeah.
Awesome, gentlemen.
All right.
Thank you so very much and have a great weekend.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for the show.
You too.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Good luck with the eclipse on Monday. Don't use any cheap sunglasses. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live. I want to thank Kevin for producing. Carolyn is out this morning. And Dennis posted everything live here for you over to ComputerTalkWithTab.com.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you guys next Saturday. And don't forget that concert in Manchester, April 17th. And Morgan's got a story about it today at 2:00.